Man, God is awesome, huh? And he's on the move. That's what's so great right now. He's really on the move. He's on the move in our church. But more importantly, as Kirk's been hinting at from time to time, is he's on the move in your lives. And that's what's awesome. And I hope you feel that movement. I hope you feel it. Because it's not just by random chance that you're being led to pray for this person or you're being led to speak into this person's life. And I just want to encourage you. I really do. I want to encourage you to keep doing that. Keep stepping up in your faith and stepping out in your faith. You know, last few Sundays, I know Kirk has mentioned, Pastor has mentioned, Stan has even mentioned about this idea of when we have this break time, it's your opportunity to go in and if you got a word that you're hearing for somebody, you know, that's a time that you can go out and speak it. And I know Kirk has been on this, down with the formalization of church. Come on, down with the formalization of church, because church became formalized and then it became impotent, unfortunately. And so what we're seeing is like Kirk was speaking about this morning, we're seeing a new movement. Yeah, the same stuff is being preached, but instead of people being preached at, they're going out and doing the preaching. They're going out and doing the ministering. And so I just want to encourage you in that. When Kirk was talking about, you know, that boldness, praying for some of you, and I thank you guys that we're struggling with boldness, that you had that boldness to stand this morning. That in itself was the Spirit moving inside of you, okay? And I guess what I'm going to say to you right now, and God kind of dropped it in my heart right away when he was praying for you, was that you're going to encounter, or you're going to experience opportunities to practice that boldness. And we saw an opportunity for many people to practice Christianity today here in the church. And this is where we need to practice Christianity. I had a great view this morning from the drum room. A great view, because when I saw people coming up with a need, I saw you guys sitting at the edge of your seat, anxious to come up here, anxious to lay your hands on people. And you think about how many different people had words today. You know, it started with Margaret's simple little word about God using the simple things. Guess what? You're the simple thing. You're that tool. And in science, we still teach about those simple machines, that pulley and that lever. Those simple machines, those simple tools were the foundation of all modern mechanisms that we have in our, you know, in our mechanized culture. And what God is trying to say through that word that he just popped into my brain is that we're those simple machines. We are the foundation for the church. At least we should be. We should be. You are the foundation for the church. So you may think yourself simple. You may think yourself lowly. But guess what? You are foundational. Foundational for the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ in this region, in your family, in your coworker place, wherever you're at, you are foundational. And I want to speak that to you. And I know you're going to encounter experiences this week where you're going to have the opportunity to practice. And guess what? You might chicken out. Let's be honest, right? Right? I'm an honest guy. One of my greatest qualities and biggest flaws is that I am an honest person. I say that because sometimes I tell people what they don't want to hear. Okay? But you're going to experience failure in your practice. But God doesn't want you to give up. In Proverbs 24:16, right away when Kirk was praying, that was the verse that popped into my mind. Though a righteous man falls 7 times, not once, not twice, not 3 times. You make a mistake once or twice, you start getting down on yourself, right? Once you start beating yourself up twice and you're just like, I'm no good anymore. You know, why would God want to use me? 24:16 says, though a righteous man falls 7 times. Guess what? There's 7 days this week. So you can start practicing today. And guess what? You can fail every day this week and still get back up on Sunday. Though a righteous man falls 7 times, he still rises again. You know who stays down after falling? The verse goes on to say, the wicked. The wicked are the ones who fail once and then stay in that same failure forever. So if you fall, guess what? God's got the grace to pick you back up again. And he is the God of second chances, and he will give you second chances up until the day he calls you home. And so just be encouraged this week that even if you mess up, even if you feel like this is a point for me to minister into somebody's life, even if you fail in that situation, don't give up. Don't lose hope, because God hasn't given up on you, and he's still got a plan for you. See, he's always just reshifting stuff, reshuffling. Okay, that didn't work. All right, let's shuffle the deck again, and okay, now we'll get this lined up and this lined up. Okay, that didn't work. Okay, now let's get this in order. Let's get this in order. Okay, okay. Oh, nothing. Okay, all right, let's reshuffle this, okay? If you've ever seen the movie The Adjustment Bureau, it's this movie about these people that are supposed to be on this track, this life plan. And as soon as they get off track of that life plan, they send in what's called the Adjustment Bureau, who has to recalculate their life plan. Okay, like a GPS, you get off course, your GPS recalculates. That happens with God. You get off track, you mess up, you miss an opportunity. God recalculates. Why? Because he wants to bless you. And he wants to bless others through you. And so he is going to recalculate and reorganize and refocus time and time and time again. See, God is efficient. He is efficient. And when we say, you know, to come up and speak those words into other people's lives and come up and share your testimony. Why? Because we're trying to, you know, God's efficient. So what he's doing is like, if God gives me a word for Stan, okay, I think, well, you know, why is God giving me a word for Stan? I'm not Stan, okay? What God's doing is by sharing that word that God gave you for Stan, not only does it bless Stan, oh, but it blesses you, okay? In this situation with Pastor Jerome and the church up at Old Agency, you know, what's so awesome is think of how efficient God was in this process. God spoke into Kirk, who then acted, blessed Jerome. In the whole mix of everything, he gets blessed. Then he involves us, the congregation, so that we can be blessed, so that Jerome's congregation can be blessed. And now you have two testimonies happening at two different churches, a testimony going out here and invigorating you, but also a testimony going out in Jerome's church and invigorating them through one small, simple act. That's the efficiency of God. And that's why it's so important that we listen. I know Trisha talked about that, the battle of the listening last week. The battle is in the listening, and she talked about it this morning. The battle is in the listening. Why? Because through one small, simple act, God is doing great, 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 great things. So, you know, be encouraged. Keep stepping out. Keep pressing in. Keep sharing and keep bringing those testimonies in, because it's building up the body. It's strengthening the body. And why does the body need strength? To do the work. To do the work. Okay? God's giving us strength, supernatural strength right now in our small church. Why? To build our church up? Yes. But to build up other churches, other communities, other people. Okay, so he's strengthening us for a reason. Now, I had a question in my mind this morning. You know, why were you saved? Why were you saved? A lot of times, I think, okay, let's pretend we're on the game show host or game show set, Family Feud. Okay, how many have seen Family Feud? Okay, I'm not Richard Dawson, so I'm not going to come around kissing everybody in the face right now. All right. So, yeah, that's yeah, that's right. Some of you need to go watch old episodes of Family Feud, I guess, and find out who Richard Dawson is. And anyway, you know, they do that where they pull 100 people and they ask them this and they answer the question, and then these people on the show are supposed to guess, you know, what people said was the answer. And I remember watching it with, I can't remember who the one guy was after Richard Dawson was, and he always do that, survey says, you know. So if I polled the audience today and I said, you know, why were you saved? Why were you saved? And I do that. Survey says, what do you think the answer would be that people would say? You were saved, so what? Oh, go to heaven, right? Go to heaven. That would be the number one answer. Why were you saved? To go to heaven. Let me ask you this. If God's goal in saving you was so that you could go to heaven, why didn't you die at conversion then? Why did he not strike you dead right then? How would that change an evangelical service? Huh? Come up for an altar call, receive Jesus, everybody dies. Right? Right? So that means if he didn't save you so that you could go to heaven, and I'm challenging theology this morning, and I'm challenging my own theology, and so if you're going, oh, I don't know if I agree with that, well, I'm sorry, but that's what God was speaking to me. You know, God didn't save you so that you could go to heaven, because then you would have died at conversion. And unfortunately, most Christians believe that God saved them for the reason for them to go to heaven. You know, if God intended for you to go to heaven, why didn't he kill you in the womb? There's more to this Christianity than what we have made it. He didn't save me so that I could go to heaven. He saved me for a purpose. Well, what is that purpose? Why is he keeping me in this world? Why is he keeping you in Sisseton when Sisseton is a dark place? Why is he keeping you here? You think it's some sort of mean joke that he has you in the circumstances that he has you in, or he has you in the family that he has you in, or he has you in the marriage that he has you in, or he's given you the kids that he's given you. Or we get caught up in these situations and circumstances thinking, why me, God? And we look for, when are you going to take us to heaven, Lord? And heaven is a great place, but it's not for you right now, because otherwise you'd already be there. So there must be something more to this life, to this walk, to this faith that you and I profess than what we're currently seeing, what we're currently living out. Otherwise, when Jesus came, he would have taken all the people that were living back in 0 AD with him. Because he could have came into the world and just saved everybody right then and taken them out of the world. So he must have had something bigger planned. And I feel like his bigger plan is he wants to take back the world that was lost. Amen. He's placed you in Sisseton to take back Sisseton because it's lost. He's placed you in a school to save that school because it is lost. You are called to a purpose this morning. So last Sunday when we were driving to church, I had this word drop into me like a time bomb. And I don't know how it's going to hit you, but it hit me on Sunday, and it hit me again when Kirk started speaking this morning. And the word that he gave me was mobilize. Mobilize. And Kirk, if you could pull that slide up for me, I'd appreciate that. I don't know what you think of when you hear that word mobilize, but mobilize is it's a verb. It's a transitive verb that means nothing to you probably as a non-English teacher. A transitive verb is an action that's directed to something or someone else. And so when God dropped that word in my mind, mobilize, I was just like, okay, God, where do you want me to go with this word, mobilize? And I didn't believe it was for last Sunday. And so I walked out of the prayer room, still kind of thinking about it. And I looked at you, the congregation, and it hit me. God's on the move, but he wants you to be on the move as well. He wants to mobilize you. And so take a look at the definition of mobilize. Mobilize is a military term. At least that's the major context for it. It means to put into use, to assemble and make ready for use, to assemble, prepare, or put into operation for what?
War.
War. War. Do you not realize that we are at war? There is a war going on. How do we know it? How do we know there's a war going on? Look around, is right. flip on the news channel that I'm too afraid to even turn on at night because I don't want to hear about all the bad things that are going on. We are at war. I know we just heard about suicides this morning. We've heard about Christian being ran over by a rock picker, and God's so faithful. So, he's mobilizing us. He's assembling us for war. And a lot of times we hear that word war, spiritual warfare, or God's got this army and you're part of the army, you think, that's not for me. That's not for me. And if you're thinking that, probably you're still stuck in the mindset that God saved you to go to heaven. He didn't save you to go to heaven. He saved you for a purpose. What is that purpose? Well, my friend, you are called for service in the greatest army that has ever been and ever will be. God is wanting to take control back of this world. Because who's in control right now? Satan is in control of this world. You know, he thinks he's got dominion over this place, right? He thinks he's got dominion. And he's got a band of demons and lots of people convinced that he is the supreme authority in this place. But you and I know better than that. The supreme authority is God our Father and his Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you. That's the supreme authority. And so God is assembling us for war, and there's a war going on. And it's time for us as Christians to rise up and be assembled and be made ready so that when God says, go here, we not only listen to the go, but we actually go in the direction that he points us in. And that's hard at times because sometimes the direction he points us in is a friend who might not be so friendly to you if you try speaking truth into their life. That direction might be a coworker who's so wrapped up in bitterness that you just can't even stand to be in the same room as the person. So you avoid this person whenever you're on break. Go. And go in the direction that he's pointing you in. I want to look at the second term here. Mobilize is also a medical term. And I want you to take a look at the definition. And when I read that definition, I don't know if it was just me or if there's other people in here. When I read that, I was like, wow, there is something so spiritual about that saying up there. The medical term for mobilize means to release something stored in the body for use. Kirk has been talking about getting out of pulpit ministry to body ministry. And you guys had the great opportunity to be the body of Christ today. And it's great to be the body of Christ in here because this is the safe zone and this is our practice zone and this is how we get better at it, right? But God is mobilizing you to take that what's stored up inside of you out of the confines of this sanctuary and into your workplaces, into your houses, into your families, into your schools. He's mobilizing. He's putting together an army because he is hard after this world and he wants it so bad. And he wants you to want it so bad. And so you go at home sometimes just feeling this ache, or you go to work sometimes just feeling this ache and not knowing why you have that ache inside of you or what's causing that ache inside of you. It's the Holy Spirit wanting to come out of you, people. That's what that ache is. Jeremiah said, God's word is like a fire shut up in my bones. Sometimes God gives you a word and it's like everything you have to hold it in. And it feels like your chest is just going to burn and blow wide open. and you don't know what to do about it, and you think it's heartburn, so you go take some Rolaids, and that doesn't do it. So you drink some water, and that doesn't do it. And so then you flip on the Christian radio, and you listen to Christian radio, and that doesn't do it. And you read your Bible, and that doesn't do it, because guess what? It needs to come out of you. I love what that definition says, to release something stored in the body for body use. Last week you saw a miracle take place, and you don't even know it. You saw my wife stand up in front of you and speak. And when Pastor told me that he was going to ask Trisha, because he told me first, and I said, that's an awesome idea, Pastor. Awesome idea. Because she's at home reading and reading and reading and reading and reading and reading and reading, and I'm thinking, what are you going to do with that reading and reading and reading and reading, right? What are you going to do with that? And she's just, well, this is for me. This is what God's teaching me. And I said, bull-loney. I actually said bull, C-R-A-P. But we'll say bull-honky. How about that? Bull-honky works for me, right? And I said, bull, that stuff isn't just for you. You know, why does God feed you? Right? Some of us, you know, I had an image come into my mind. I saw a picture of you guys, and you look like a nest full of baby birds. Kirk, can you pull that picture up? You look like that in my mind. Kind of arms down behind your back, mouth wide open, going, feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me. And pastors feed you. Pastor has fed you. Kirk's fed you. My wife has fed you. Anybody who speaks on Wednesday night has fed you. The songs on the radio have fed you and fed you and fed you. And what's happening is you need to start feeding others. Start feeding others. Because eventually, if that baby bird keeps eating and eating and eating, Kirk, go to the next slide, that's what you're going to look like. Baby Huey. And yes, I am old enough to remember that cartoon, okay? That's what you're gonna look like. Because you're getting fed and 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 fed. But you're not doing anything with that food that God has given you. And so it's time to do something with the food that God has given you. It's time to exercise our faith. Baby Huey could use some exercise, don't you agree? He could use some exercise of his faith. Now, there's nothing wrong. Go back to the back slide, back, the previous slide, Kirk. There's nothing wrong with that. We are to be fed, and pastors are called to feed us. But sometimes our pastors look so ragged and worn out and super-duper skinny that you just there's nothing left of them. Because all they're doing is feeding and feeding and feeding and feeding and feeding. And you're just getting fuller and fuller and fuller and fuller. Okay? We need to take what God is giving us. Take the word that God has placed in our heart, and we need to go somewhere with it. Well, where can we go with it, you might ask? Where can we go? Well, start in your home. Go to your home. Go to your home. Go to your home first. And then once you've won your home for Jesus, then go to outside of your home, to your outside family. Go to your friends. Then go to your workplace. Okay? That's what God wants us to do. You know, He wants us He wants us to be fed, but then He wants us to go and feed others. Okay? He doesn't want us to stay in this state. He wants us to graduate from this. Paul talks about it a little bit, about how in the church you have people that are still feasting on milk. It's time to move on to solid food, okay? It's time, you know, not right now for these little baby birdies, okay? They still need food, right? They still need to be cared for, right? They still need that. They still need that nourishment and to be watched over. But go to baby Huey. He doesn't need that anymore, okay? It's time for that boy, first of all, to ditch the diaper, and then second of all, to go out and find his own food and start providing for other people. That's the next step for some of you, okay? Maybe all of you, okay? the next step. God wants to mobilize us. Go back to that very first slide with the definitions. I want to talk a little bit about the medical term here, to release something stored in the body for use. I want to focus on that. I need you to open to Ezekiel 37. I wasn't sure if I was going to go here today, but I guess I'm going here. So you can either come along with me or I don't know. Or not. Yeah, I guess it's the power of choice, right? Right. We're in the Valley of Dry Bones in Ezekiel 37. Great passage. I love this passage. I love to read it over and over and over again because there's something so prophetic in the words of Ezekiel. I love Jeremiah because there's something so prophetic in the words of Jeremiah. I love Isaiah because there's something so prophetic in the words of Isaiah. And those prophecies that happened, you know, thousands of years ago are still ringing true today. They're still ringing true. And so in Ezekiel 37, we see the Valley of the Dry Bones. And I guess I don't want to necessarily read the whole passage to you. So I'm going to paraphrase. You can feel free to read it. But in this passage, God takes Ezekiel to this valley. And he sees desolation. All these scattered bones. And what God does is he asks Ezekiel to prophesy to these dry bones. And so Ezekiel starts to prophesy, and it's cool. The Bible says the bones, there started to be this rattling noise, and all of a sudden, all these bones start coming together. They start acquiring flesh, and they stand up at attention, basically, is what's taking place. And I think sometimes that's where a lot of you guys are at in your Christianity. You've got this appearance of I'm a Christian, I'm awake, I know about God, or I know about Jesus, and I believe in God and I believe in Jesus. And what I feel like we don't do oftentimes as a church is we don't say, but there's more. But there's more. See, salvation is not the climax of Christianity. Salvation is the starting point of Christianity. So if that's the starting point and heaven is the finishing point, there's got to be a lot of stuff that takes place between my conversion and my rapture. And so what is it that God has for me? Well, something interesting happens here in Ezekiel. There's a two-stage conversion, and I believe wholeheartedly in two-stage conversions of people. You have this opportunity where people become awakened to things of God. And then you have this moment where the Spirit of God drops on them big time and activates them for his true calling and his true purpose for them. And so I see that here in Ezekiel. And if you don't see that and you don't agree with me in the two-stage conversion, that's fine, okay? But I'm going to challenge your theology this morning if I haven't done so already. And so I want you to take a look I'll start with verse 7. I'll back up just a little bit. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no, what? No what? Breath. No breath. No breath, no oxygen. Okay? If somebody's breathing, are they alive? Yeah. If they're not breathing, are they alive? Yeah. If they're not breathing, people aren't alive. Usually, that's a good check anyway, okay? Most people, when they see somebody's not breathing, chances are they're not alive, okay? And so we have this moment where these bones come together, and they look like people. Ezekiel looks out in this valley, and he sees people covered in flesh, and they're standing, but there's no breath in them. So look what happens. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet. A vast what? A vast army. Ooh. So you have a lot of people professing Christianity, and they just don't realize that there's more to it than what they're living or what they're experiencing. They need that breath of God to come into them. We need that breath of God to come into us, because what does that breath of God do? It activates us. It activates us for his true calling and his true purpose for us. In that medical term, to release something stored in the body for body use. In that medical term, oxygen is a mobilizer. Yeah, I don't know if you know how oxygen works. You probably just know that you need oxygen, right? Okay? And you know that sometimes when you run, you start breathing heavy. And I'll ask my sixth graders, because I teach sixth grade science, I'll say, you know, why do you start breathing heavy when you're running? And there's, I don't know. Well, I'll tell you why. Oxygen is a metabolizer. What that means is if you know the properties of oxygen, if you remember physical science, ninth grade, you remember that, right? Right, periodic table, and remembering all that stuff? Okay, well, I do, but I'm a nerd, all right? So oxygen is a metabolizer. That means if you take a match to oxygen, what's it going to do? It's going to explode. You take a big canister of oxygen and you throw it into a campfire. Don't do that. But you do that, what's it going to do? It's going to explode. It's a catalyzing ion where it's got a property of explosiveness. It catches fire. It's highly flammable, oxygen. It's highly flammable. And so when you run and you start to get out of breath, what's happening actually, it's not that you need oxygen. Well, you do. But actually what's happening is your muscles are calling for energy. And so as your muscles call for energy, your body looks to your energy stores. You know where your energy store is? It's this guy right here, okay? My energy store is getting a little bit bigger these days, unfortunately. So I've been trying to take care of that, okay? I started running this week. And hopefully my energy store is going to get a little bit lower. And so yeah, and I started running again after how many years of inactivity, I guess. And I noticed right away, man, I'm breathing heavy. But that's good. That's good, because what that means is your body is trying to burn away energy that's stored up in fat. And so the way that your body burns up energy stored in fat is through flammable oxygen. That's why oxygen is flammable, because it's meant to burn up fat in your body to give you energy. And so oxygen is flammable, and it's meant to release energy for you. Guess what that breath of God is? It's flammable. It is flammable, and it is meant to ignite something in you. It is meant to release something in you. Last week, we saw my wife come up here and speak the word to you. She's had all this information stored up in here. You've had information stored up in you, okay? You've had that information stored up in you, and sometimes you're getting so filled up with different words. It even happened to me this week, okay? I was trying to think about what I should preach on today. And I had like 7 different sermons that I've written in the last, you know, month or two. And I don't know why I sit on that stuff. Because then what happens is when you have an opportunity to share, it's like 3 fat guys trying to get through the same narrow passageway, right? Right? What's going to happen? They're going to get wedged in there, right? Okay? I'm sorry I don't have a picture of that for you. Okay? But that's the idea, is that when you have the opportunity to speak, you've been holding stuff in, and suddenly it just comes out like vomit on people, okay? You is right. It's right. It is disgusting. And so what God is trying to tell you is, as stuff comes in, move it out. As stuff comes in, move it out. Proverbs, oh gosh, I hope I wrote this down. Proverbs 27:7. Don't know why this is coming to me, but Proverbs 27:7 says that he who is full loathes honey. What does it mean to loathe something? You don't want it. You don't want it at all. Okay? Now, I love honey. I had the Hutterites bring me a jar of their homemade honey. Stuff is delicious. Okay? You can put it on a shoe and it's going to taste good. Okay? but I prefer, you know, cornbread muffins. That's the better application for it. He who is full loathes honey, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. Those of you who know the passage. And so some of you are sitting in church getting so crammed full, you just can't take another sermon from pastor about going out and ministering to your neighbor, and you can't take another word about loving your enemies, and you can't take another word about this or about that, because you're full. How do you get hungry then? Well, there's two ways to get hungry again. Number one is exercise. Exercise makes you hungry. That means as stuff comes in and we talk about practicing this new walk with Christ, practicing this new idea of being led by my spirit instead of being led by my flesh. As we practice that, that's exercise. And what it's going to do for you is it's going to make you hungry. My wife has been so hungry lately with all this stuff, and she's been taking in. And then she got to, you know, minister to you last week. And so guess what? She's got a renewed hunger again. Okay? Why do pastors, you know, how can pastors dig into the Bible on a daily basis? Because they're constantly feeding. They're constantly exercising their faith. And so I'm going to encourage you, those of you who struggle with boldness and those of you who are too chicken to stand up for prayer for boldness this morning, exercise your faith this week. And it's the simple stuff, like Margaret said. The simple stuff is so foundational. It's the simple things that are going to astonish you. God uses the simple to confound the wise. He's going to take that simple thing, that simple thought, that simple word that you have, and he's going to use it in a way that not only blesses other people, but it's going to bless you. And remember that efficiency. You're going to bless somebody. They're going to bless somebody. You're going to come to our church and give a testimony and bless many other people. They're going to go to their church and give a testimony and bless many other people. And God, you know, had a moment with 80 people through one simple act. Amen. Okay? It's flammable. It is flammable, that breath of God, that oxygen, that spirit that he breathes into you. It is flammable. And if you try to shut it up inside of you, you're going to burn a hole in your chest, okay? Or you're going to see flame shooting out of your backside as you blast out of here, okay? Again, I don't have an image for that either, sorry. Okay, rightly so, right? So God is feeding you. And God has been just, I don't know how you felt, but like I listened, I had a backlog of podcasts that I needed to listen to this week of, you know, pastor sermons. I had to go back all the way to Ray Phipps, which was April 22nd. And so I listened to Ray, and then I listened to, you know, pastor's last previous messages, and I listened to Trisha's just to get a feel, you know, what God's speaking in our church, and you know, he's speaking the same thing through praise and worship. There's such a unity right now in our body, which is great. It's great. But I still feel like there's more and more of you that still need to be aligned to that unity. And so that's why we're going to keep pressing in and pressing on, because we're trying to bring everybody into the same alignment, not in the essence of following a man, in the essence of following the Spirit of God and where he's taking it. And thank God for our administrative people here in this church who are being led and aligned and directed by the Spirit, because you just experienced the Spirit-led service this morning. And that was awesome. Wasn't our service this morning flammable? Worship was flammable this morning. You could have walked out of here just ready to take on the world, and that's how it should be each Sunday. So then go out and exercise, and then come back on Sunday so that you're hungry again, so that the message that pastor gives, because God has been pouring out honey to you, and some of you are just, I just can't have any more of that. Can't have any more of that sweet stuff. And I think that's lunacy. How could you not have more of that teaching? Well, you need to go out and exercise. Exercise is one way. Another way that you get hungry is by taking what's given to you and finding somebody else that needs it. and going to them and saying, here, I'm going to give this to you. God's giving you wisdom, not to make you all high and lofty. He's giving you wisdom and words of knowledge. He's giving you the power to heal. He's giving you the power to seek and save the lost so that you can do that stuff. And then you can impart that onto other people. He's giving and giving and giving right now. I know Kirk talked last year about there being an open heaven. You know, we started this train ride, I call it, you know, back in the spring of last year. And it has been an awesome year. But guess what? This next year's going to be even better. I'm excited for this summer. I'm excited for every Sunday that we come here because I just can't wait to hear how God has used you. I can't wait for your testimonies, people. I can't wait for them. Because there is something in testimony that just, it's like not only did the act of God delivering Christian in that situation with the rock picker kick Satan's butt, the testimony adds insult to injury. And so it's like, you're down, and there you go again. That's what testimony does. And so I can't wait for Sundays to hear. And when I see people come up to the microphone, I think, yes, 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 Lord, because he's moving. God is mobilizing us for a greater purpose. So if you are caught on this idea that you're just going to find a safe place to hide until the rapture happens, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're gonna go through a very dissatisfied life. And you're going to have a longing inside of you that you can't explain why you can't ever fill it. It's because God wants to breathe his breath into you, and it is meant to ignite you, to cause you to go forth and go out and start raising up other people. See, I consider myself now as part of God's army. I consider myself to be a recruiter now. Okay, so now I'm going to go out and recruit other army personnel. We are part of an army, people. There is a war going on, and God is taking back the earth. And he is mobilizing forces, and he's mobilized you in the certain place that you're in. You know, the church has gone into what's called survival mode. Survival mode is this idea that, okay, we're going to just, you know, get as many people saved as possible, but that's you know, that's all we're going to do for them. We're not going to teach them about leading victorious lives. We're just going to tell them that salvation is the end all. Yeah, that's the ultimate goal. Once you get saved, you're good. And now just we'll see you at the rapture, okay? Have a good life, right? That's that survival mode, or we teach people to go and hide, or go and find a safe place to hide out, or try to find safe places to hide out. God wants to kick us out of survival mode, and he wants to kick us into revival mode right now. And that's where we're going right now. We have droves and droves and droves of survivalists in our culture. Okay? I don't know how many people profess to be Christians in the world, but there's probably a lot, and they're probably, most of them are lying. Okay? But they're survivalists. And we've seen what survivalists or survivalism or survival mode has done for this world, absolutely nothing. And so God's creating a new generation of revivalists, and praise God that you have an opportunity to be a part of that. See, God has given you power. He's given you authority. He's given you the word in Mark when he's reading telling the parable of the sowers. He tells the disciples, the secret to the kingdom of God has been given to you. Not so that you can take that secret and run and hide, but so that you can take that secret and spread it. Spread it like wildfire. God saved you for a purpose. And here's what I'm going to challenge you with. Find out what that purpose is that God saved you for. Because he didn't save you just so you could go to heaven. Okay? Otherwise, when the preacher laid his hands on you, you know what would happen? Flatline, right there. Right? Right? Okay. Dear Jesus, come into my heart. Right? And then you're dead. Right? Yes, got another one in seven. All right, let's move on to the next one. The person beside would be like, okay, I'm out of here. Right? Right? So there's something more. There's something more. I believe that God wants me to motivate you today. And being a football coach, I feel like that's something that I can be gifted at. And so I want to try and motivate you this morning. And I want to try and motivate you by speaking truth into you. Because we've believed lies for too long. We've believed the in this false Christianity for too long. We followed these false teachings for too long. And we start believing those false teachings as truth. I want to speak some truth into you this morning. Truth from God. First of all, first and foremost, what I believe God wants to tell you is that you are a soldier. You are a soldier, and you have been called to so much more than what you're experiencing. And maybe you're experiencing great things. Well, praise God. You're called for more. But maybe if you're like the other 99% of the people, you've probably been experiencing some tough situations. You are called for more. Why has God placed you in this city, in this church, in this circumstance, or in this life? Why has God placed you in these situations that he's placed you? It's not because he's trying to beat up on you. It's because he placed you in that situation so that you could overcome that situation, so that you could declare victory in that situation. I went through a tough time when I first got my job in Rosslyn thinking, you know, this isn't for me. I don't really want to be in here. And I look at the despair in the kids, and I look at my job, and I just, you know, treat it like a job, and like, you know, this is temporary, God. This is temporary. You're gonna be calling me. And God's going, you're crazy, Stephen. You're crazy. This might be temporary, but until you arise and declare victory in this situation, I'm not moving you on to the next step. I'm not moving you on until you declare victory in the situation where you're in right now. You are soldiers. There is a war going on. There is a spiritual war. We've seen attack after attack after attack after an attack. And if you're not experiencing attack, guess what the enemy's doing? He's planning the next attack. Okay? So just because you're not necessarily being attacked doesn't necessarily mean that everything's bright and cheery. And okay, we need to constantly be training ourselves and preparing for war. Exercise this week. Find somebody to minister to. Find somebody to bless. Find somebody to feed what you've been fed this morning. You saw great. Great things happen. We saw people rallying around people for prayer this morning. That was a great, huge pinnacle moment in some of the lives here today. Well, guess what? You were blessed for a reason, so that you can go out and bless others and to do likewise. You know, the stage has been set, okay? The stage has been set. You know what you are. You know what you're called to do, okay? The step is, you know, be ignited. Step into it. Practice it. Ask God, what's my purpose? What's my purpose in this life? Okay? Why am I in this situation? Why am I experiencing this? Ask him. And guess what? He's going to answer you. And he's going to answer you pretty pointedly. And he's going to tell you exactly why you're experiencing what you're experiencing. Or he's going to tell you exactly why you're at where you're at. Okay? Because he wants to see victory. Start in your house. Start in your house. Declare victory in your house. Move on to your friends. Declare victory in your friends. Move on to your coworkers. Declare victory in your coworkers. And my gosh, you're going to see powerful, powerful things happen, and you're going to come back every Sunday and you're going to hear about other powerful things that God is doing in other people.